Hey, Jose, here's another one for your collection, eh? Hey, Bob, Fule, hey, how come you don't play hockey, eh? What you do, Ross?
Gosh, they're not the canned garbage that you listen to. They're real. They're from Canada. It's super cold, so they have to rock super hard to stay warm.
I'll take your word for it.
Confined under the psychiatric care.
Well, I think he just pressed one of these buttons here.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dog Show Drive 2025, the first episode, Dog Show Drive.
Canadian edition.
Today on the Dog Show Drive, we have a great lineup for you. We're going to talk about Cross Canada. It was only one show across Canada, the Wildwood Kennel Club. We're going to talk about what percentage does the best dog win at dog shows? What is the percentage that the best dog actually wins?
Yep.
And we're going to give you some Westminster history that Megan from the show found for us. So it's a wonderful little piece. And we have a special top 10 because Cobaconk is snowed in. So we had to go get one from
Minnesota.
Minnesota. So that and more on this week's Dog Show Drive.
Canadian edition.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive.
Canadian edition.
I'm Will Alexander.
And I'm Yvonne Norton.
And we're here to try to fill your hour with God knows what.
Exactly.
So how was your week? Well, actually, you went to a dog show.
I did go to a dog show. I'm really glad I went to a dog show.
Don't talk about it. You know, I don't want to hear about it.
So I got to see lots of my friends. I went to the Lando Lakes Kennel Club in St. Paul, Minnesota at the big convention center there, right next to the XL Energy Center, where they play a little bit of hockey every now and again.
The Wild.
And the women's team was playing too. That they played on Friday night, and the men's and then the Wild played on Saturday. Yeah,
I'm having a hard time with the women's names. They've chosen the strangest names.
I can't remember, and I can't even like for the life of me. They're beautiful purple uniforms, jersey. Yeah. It's really, really nice because as we were leaving the dog show, and that's the only crappy thing about that dog show is when the hockey games are on, because it is harder to get in and out of that area. But
like the Toronto is the Toronto Sirens, but if you look at their logo, it's that it looks like, remember that old cross logo for cancer you used to see on those
bracelets.
What it looks like.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's odd looking. Oh, and then,
did you just say it was ugly?
It's Ottawa Charge. Ottawa Charge, I think.
Yeah, and then what's Boston called? I can't remember. I remember looking at the names, and they've
I think they could have chosen better names. I really do.
Oh, do you? Okay. Well.
Okay. Well, they could have gone a little more traditional, in the sense that, like, there's so many names that Toronto used to have, like the St. Pat's or the Arenas. You know.
Yeah. I agree. Yep.
Like, I think that the Ottawa Senators used to be the silver something, I forget.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Like, they could have, I think that would have been more traditional. They probably would have sold more jerseys, you know.
Probably. So, anyway, back to my story.
Anyway, sorry.
I was at the Lando Lakes Kennel Club. It is actually a really nice facility. They do have two levels. They do, the toys, terriers, and non-sporting on the second level. So they have a lot of benches.
Is it easy to access the levels?
Yes, it is. It is easy. And they have benching up on the second level too. So if you're just showing those breeds, then I mean, it's perfect for you.
Do you have to haul your stuff up the stairs?
Yeah, but there's a second level and they have elevators. There's different areas to unload. So it's not terrible. And there's like a big loading dock for the main level. So, I mean, people
do they
always
have boys?
No, they don't. But the St. Paul police is there, and they're very kind. They're very nice men.
Were they helpful?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Park right here, ma'am. You can leave your keys in your car. Don't worry. And I'm like, all right.
But they didn't help you unload though. Like
no, they don't. No, I think that's like a whole like, you know, union issue, blah, blah. So anyhow,
I feel a bit restrictive today.
Do you? Do you? Yeah. Well, you look good. Anyway, you look good. Thanks. 2 minutes. We're looking so good, Richard.
Richard.
Weirdo.
You're a weirdo.
You're a weirdo. So anyhow, back to my story once again. Great show. Their judging panel was really good. Vicki Abbott was on there. Okay, she finished my dog on Sunday. That was great.
Get it over with.
Your dream was not as good as my dream. My dream was my young female English setter, best of breed from the classes, over specials. You can catch it on Facebook. Anyway. So we had a great weekend that way. And of course, I got to see our favorite people, Mandy and Doug Carlson, friends of the show.
Friends of the show. But then you also saw Luke and you also saw and Robin, Luke, and Laura.
Robin and Laura were there. Luke was there. Terry Myers is there.
Terry Myers,
I love her. She's just great.
Not as great as Doug and Mandy, though. They're my favorites.
Yeah. Well, actually, Doug wasn't even there because he was with Eric, and Eric was in a hockey tournament that weekend. Did get to see him. He did show up. He finally showed up on Sunday, so that was good. There was lots of Canadians go to that show too, from Winnipeg and from my area also. So had Carrie Randall. She put on 2 back-to-back 5-point majors from the classes with her palm, placing in the group, you know.
Both. Good for her. Well, she's always has something good, so.
Yeah, exactly. So it
palm,
was...
be it Shih Tzus.
Yeah, right? They actually don't have Shih Tzus anymore.
No,
they've just gone to palms now. Little dust bunnies running around the house.
Yeah, so I guess it's probably a little less upkeep, you know?
Yeah. So, but it was a fantastic weekend.
There is an upkeep with Pomeranz, but I know there's a... life-changing upkeep with Shih Tzus.
The procedure, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but it was a great weekend. I had to laugh because the young gentleman that was doing the show photography, All Breed Photography by Tyler Crady Roach, he actually knew who I was. You know when people come up to you and, do you know so-and-so? And I was like, oh, yes, I do. And he remembered me from about, I don't know, almost 15 years ago.
15 years ago, wow.
Yeah, I went and I'm just shaking my head at Will. I went to Montgomery with Adam that weekend, and he was working for Woody Warnell. And that's how he remembered me. But he...
Woody Warnell. It's pronounced Woody Warnell.
Warnell, thanks. Warnell. So it was funny.
That's all French flair on words over up here. What do you wear now?
Renan, yes. I like that. So anyway, he remembered me. But you know who he reminded me of when he takes photos is Alex Smith.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Click, click, done. Like, I got it. It's good. I got it. And he was right. And Fanny's hard, not easy to take pictures of. And also, I'm a bit of a... Good. But he was, and his pictures
Garth's
are beautiful.
Like that too, Garth. But you just, if he has to fix something later on, he fixes it. That's all.
Exactly. But he has a great
friend
website.
Of the show, Garth Gourlay.
Garth
Gourlay. If he's in Quebec, it's Garth Gourlay. In Ontario, it's Garth Gourlay.
Yep. So anyhow, and he's got a great website, easy to access. Like boom, boom, get your pictures, one and done. So it was a great weekend. Back.
What's going on here?
No, I'm just saying it was like nice. What did you do this weekend, William?
I went to the inaugural Wildwood Dog Show because it's a new one. Because there's one at the end of the month, the one in the first of the month. This is the first time he's ever had them. Dean Dennis runs the Wildwood Kennel Clubs, him and his group of hard workers. And it went well. I think the numbers could have been better for him. But I went there on the Saturday, and all the regular players were there, and I got to sit and talk to my mommy, Lane Whitney, and Bob, and Judy Taylor. We all sat there, and Christy Francis was on the panel, so she's hilarious. I always have so much fun talking to Christy.
Yeah,
what a good dog person. I had a lot of fun, and the show went well. I think for his first year, for people to get used to a show this close to Christmas. Yeah, it takes a lot, and I think it'll only grow. It'll grow.
Oh, for sure.
Dean's good at those things, so he'll Dennis. He'll get the show off the ground, and I think there's still plenty of room there because they have the Wildwood show
where,
in February. It's at the casino in Woodstock.
Casino.
Next to the casino.
Yeah.
There's a farmer's market there. It's actually kind of cool. We have fun at the farmer's market. But it's the only thing with Woodstock is you could be driving on the 401 and you hit Guelph, and you hit Cambridge, you hit Kitchener, you hit where it says Woodstock's coming up, sun, clear, you turn onto Highway 2 into Woodstock, snow.
Blizzard.
Snow. Every time, snow.
Jeez.
So as long as you can get out of Woodstock back to the 401, you're as good as gold. Good to get
home. Oh, that's good.
Cool. But it was fun. The show went well. I don't know. I think Megan, friend of the show, she looked up the numbers for us.
Yep.
So we might as well get right into that now since we're talking about it.
Yep, might as well. Across Canada, brought to you
Across
by...
Canada. Not a real country after all. So, yeah, the judges there were Catherine Grant, Christy Francis, and Barb Heal, which was great. I love seeing all three of those ladies. They all did a wonderful job. And the entries, first day was...
148.
148. And Saturday got up to 195, which is starting to get respectable
already.
Yeah,
that's good.
And then 179 on the Sunday. And there were some new dogs there. There were some new old dogs there. It was a competitive show. Like each group was competitive.
Nice.
There was no group that was like, oh, you know, there's nobody here. There's nobody here. There was competition in all those groups.
Well, that's
so
great.
It was fun. Well, so you never know that early in the year. You know,
yeah.
And like the terrier group. I think the hound group only had, I don't know, 7 breeds or something. But
that's still
there
good.
Were four that's... or five good dogs that you had to decide from.
Yeah.
You know? So that makes it better. And I think that it's only going to grow. So,
yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, you have to, because I think, what was their closing date? December 23rd?
Something like that.
Christmas. Well, and the thing is that I think with a show like that, especially when you're new, to maybe move your closing date earlier, because before people get caught up in that Christmas,
right?
Because I know I had to enter, it was earlier entry for the Land O'Lakes show, and I had to remind myself several times not to miss it. So fortunately I didn't. So that was good.
And I think also subconsciously, when people see the 23rd of December, they go, oh, do we want to, Christmas is in 2 days. Do we want to go to a dog show right away?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think he's got to change that. You're probably right about changing that. It's probably a good idea. And I'm sure Dean listens to the show, so he's already got that. He's probably already working on it for next year.
Oh, yeah. I would assume.
He's a friend of the show, Dean Dennis. You know.
Dean Dennis, friend of the show. So, and what was the last day? What was the entry the last day? 179, you said, eh?
179, yeah. It was respectable. Like, we've had shows that have been around for a long time, and northern shows that are less than that, so.
Well, our shows up here in Thunder Bay are not near that yet, so.
Well, you have less to draw from, so.
Well, we do, but I mean, as we all say, back in the day.
Back in the day, we were in our wagons and just head up to Thunder Bay for the weekend.
Exactly.
The path is open.
Yep. Yep. As long as that damn road's not closed. So
That's right. So
let's move on to some upcoming shows. We'll just remind people of what's coming up. So on January 24th to the 26th, it's the Evelyn Kinney and Kennel and Obedience Club, and that's in Calgary, Alberta. And that's held at downtown on the Stampede Grounds, and that closes January 7th, which is today at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. Oh, that's, well, actually, it would be closed already because this won't go out for a couple days.
Yeah, we're not live.
Anyway, so that's coming up. So the next closing date, though, is January.
Well, hopefully, y'all got your entries in for the Evelyn Kenny, and enjoy yourself.
And good luck to you. Oh, the next event coming up is the Wildwood Kennel Club, and that closes on January 30th, And no, that is January 30th to February 2nd, closes right. Monday, January 20th, closes on a Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yeah. And that's a Diana Edwards show. Show services.
Yeah, so.
And then just looking a little bit ahead too, just because we can, because this time of year is kind of slow for us here in Canada. We have the Brandon Show coming up, and that's February 15th, 16th, and 17th. And that's 6 all breed shows, 2 obedience trials, and 4 rally obedience trials. And that closes on January 29th. And
bring your thermal underwear.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's one cold show. I remember taking Lucky Saluki there, and it was so
cold. That is so mean.
Yeah, she would not pee outside. We had to put paper down in the bathroom in the hotel room to let her pee. She would not. I am not peeing out here.
Forget it.
She was probably so cold.
She was probably afraid it would just freeze as it came out of her.
It was so cold.
And in conjunction with that show is an ASCA confirmation show. And ASCA is the Australian Shepherd. The Australian Shepherd Club of, I don't know I know it's ASCA, but it's like, it's the mother club of all Australian.
Probably
Shepherds.
Association, Australian yeah. Cattle.
Australian Shepherd Club Association. I don't know.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
You probably nailed it. Why?
Thanks.
I nailed it.
Anyway, so and then just looking there in the Crocus shows premium list for more details on that. All right. So what else do we have? That's it for Across Canada.
But before we get on with that, I want to tell a story.
I want to tell a story.
You don't mind, do you?
No. Do I have
friend of the show, Colin Brownlee.
Oh, Colin. Such a delight.
We gotta love our Colin.
We do love our Colin.
This is back at the old kennel on Fifth Line in Milton.
Yep.
And Jamie was just a youngster, and we were taking him for a flu shot.
Okay.
If anybody knows Colin, Colin's a great guy, but he thinks way too much. He is a thinker, and he overthinks. And right away he says, can't take Jamie get his flu shot. That's just the government chipping him. They're just going to put a microchip in him and follow him for the rest of his life. You can't do that. I'm like, don't be ridiculous, Colin. So off we went. We got his flu shot. And when I got back, I snuck into the office of the kennel and got out one of our microchips and put it inside Jamie's jacket in his pocket. And then we found Colin. And Colin's like, well, did you do it? I said, yeah, we did it. And I said, don't be ridiculous. It was just a shot. Oh, they chipped him. Well, go to the office, get the scanner, and let's check. I told you. They chipped him. They chipped your son.
I can just see Colin going off too, right?
Friend of the show, Colin Brownlee.
Yep, our friend of the show.
So what do we have coming up?
We have Westminster coming up.
Westminster's coming up.
And as we said last week, we were going to do a little bit here and there about Westminster. Yes. So into the big lead up. So this week we have the who, what, where, why, how and when of Westminster. So this is a little bit of Westminster history. So you like history.
Our staff researched this intensely.
They did.
No, friend of the show, Megan.
friend of the show, Megan Wozniak.
Go ahead. Read Megan's notes.
Do you want me to read?
Full job.
Okay. Yes. Megan did a fantastic. She did a lot better than I would have done because I'd have just been throwing this together 2 minutes before we met. So anyhow, for those that don't know, well, just give a little introduction, Will, about the garden for all those that don't know and why we even call it the garden.
The Westminster Kennel Club is the longest running sporting event, only second to the Kentucky Derby in North America. And it's called the Westminster Kennel Club because it was Westminster was. I do know this. I think
Megan covers it actually.
Okay. I won't go into that.
No, we
part
don't
yet.
Have to go that. Yeah.
But it's called we call it the Garden because it's held at Madison Square Garden. Remember, it's the Garden, not the Gardens.
garden.
Dog people hate when people say, oh, we're going to the gardens. It's not the gardens. It's the garden.
The garden.
Madison Square Garden. Maple Leaf Gardens was the gardens. Madison Square Garden. So we're going to the garden.
All right.
That's why we actually call it the garden. Even when it moved around to the pier and whatnot, and the Billie Jean came,
we still said,
you go to the garden? Yeah, we'll go to the garden.
Some expressions will never be lost. Yeah. All right. So
go ahead.
This is what we have found out. So in 1887, a group of sporting gentlemen decide to host a dog show in Manhattan. The Westminster Kennel Club gets its name from a long-gone hotel in Manhattan. There, the sporting gentlemen used to meet in the bar to drink and lie about their shooting accomplishments.
We still do that stuff.
Figures.
We don't shoot things as much, but we have different things we lie about.
Exactly. Eventually, they formed a club and bought a training area and kennel. They kept their dogs there and hired a trainer. Now, this is information that we've got right from the WestminsterKennelClub.org website. This show has since grown enormously and is considered America's dog show. The first Westminster Kennel Club show was held at Gilmore's Garden, the forerunner of Madison Square Garden in New York City, drawing an entry of, get this, 1,201 dogs.
What year was that?
It's like
1905 or something like that.
Yeah, now consider this. Westminster predates the invention of the light bulb, the automobile, and the zipper, the building of the Brooklyn Bridge, and the Washington Monument, and manned air flight and the establishment of the World Series. So, see, we've been around for a long time. Westminster even predates the establishment of the governing body of the sport, the AKC, by 7 years. In fact, in 1877, members of Westminster and the members of the Kennel Club of Philadelphia had together adopted a set of show rules and regulations and established a board of appeals to oversee these rules. This was the precursor to the American Kennel Club, which was finally created in 1884. Isn't that fascinating?
It is fascinating.
Yeah, just to see how much was already organized before like the main governing body had even come into play. Okay, so in the early Westminster years, some interesting names showed up in the catalogs. In the first show, there were two staghounds listed as being from the late General George Custer's pack, and two deerhounds that had been bred by the Queen of England. In 1889, the Tsar of Russia was listed as the breeder of a Siberian wolfhound entered. And the following year, one of the entries was a Russian wolfhound whose listed owner was the Emperor of Germany. That kind of gives incredible. You a little bit of goofbumps there.
Exactly.
Wow.
Put that one up.
Yeah. All right. So, Best in Show at Westminster was given for the first time in 1907. In 1907, 10 judges presided over the Best in Show round and awarded the title to champion Warren Remedy, a smooth fox terrier bitch defeating 16 other breeds in the ring. Champion Warren Remedy, owned by Winthrop Rutherford of, how do you say that? Alamuchi, New Jersey. We need someone from New Jersey to tell us. Won Best in Show at Westminster the next two following years in 1908 and in 1909. She still remains the only dog to ever win Best in Show three times at the Garden. Six other dogs have won Best in Show twice, the most recent being the English Springer Spaniel champion
Adamant James.
James in 1971 and 72. How about that? How about that? So there's a little of the history of the garden. And
was handled by Clint Harris. Remember Clint Harris?
Not personally, but yeah, I know the name.
He judged a lot in Canada. He showed Adam and James.
Yeah. So this year, it's they've had to do some rearranging of the garden because of economics and you know, scheduling and stuff like that. The breed judging this year will be held at the Jacob Javits Convention Center. And the groups and the best in show will be back in Madison Square Garden.
Yay!
Yay! And as a side note, Mr. William Alexander is the only Canadian judge on the panel this year. How about wow. that? How about them apples? Yeah. So that's
a good job, Megan.
Good Excellent. Job. That's a lot of information there that we probably wouldn't have had.
Exactly. But if you look at Westminster and you see the best in show winners, best in show winners in a lot of cases are big winners from the previous year.
Yes, they are.
Which kind of rolls us into what we want to talk about today.
Yes, it does. So this week's
how
topic.
How often does the best dog really win?
Mm-hmm.
In a dog show, right? How often is that? Now, I think that's a really subjective question as well as a subjective answer.
Right, you know. Because dog shows they're subjective. It's
canine
I mean,
figure skating.
It is canine figure skating. Yeah,
canine figure skating.
So how often? I personally think the best dogs more often than not do win.
Oh, of course they do. But it's funny when you sit around and talk. It depends what group of people you're talking to.
Yeah.
Because it's almost always negative what they talk about.
Yeah.
And not so much in yesteryear. It wasn't as bad in yesteryear. I think there was more appreciation. Yeah. I hate to say that. But now it's become, instead of picking out the good things about a certain dog, they're all saying, well, how did he win with that? Or how did they win with this? Or how did she do that? And she,
like, everybody wants to bang on the obvious or the smaller fault or whatever. Yeah.
And we've all been through it. I've been through it. Yep. Even as a handler, I remember thinking a certain dog was beating me consistently. I think, how the heck is that dog beating? Don't they see this? Right to the point where it was getting me frustrated. And I actually asked Maxine Beam, because she put this dog over the dog I was showing. So I asked her afterwards, because I was friendly with Maxine, and I knew she'd tell me the way it was. And she said, well, you got to look at the overall picture, William. Like, sure, every dog has faults, but we're not here to judge faults. We're here to judge the
attributes,
the attributes of the dogs. And I was very lucky how I got brought up in this sport. My family was good that way, but they introduced me to a lot of really influential people. I got to meet influential people in the sport. I met Mr. Eldridge, Ted Eldridge, when I was like 10 years old, 10 or 11 years old. And I used to spend the summers there during the cherry blossom circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And he instilled upon me that I was not allowed to say a bad thing about dogs. Right. I always had to say the positive things about dogs.
Yeah.
I remember going at the Potomac Irish Setter Specialty, and there was a dog I really liked. We started talking about it, and I went to say something wrong with it. He says, no, I want you to tell me what's right with it before you tell me what's wrong with it. He said, anybody sitting at ringside can tell you what's wrong with a certain dog. You need to tell me what's right with a certain dog.
And I think if people now, because that's, I always find it hard to, you know, you want to have a conversation with people about dogs. And I find I really do pick and choose who I talk to, because if I go, you know, you talk to certain people and they're always just like, they can never say anything constructive about a dog. It's always all the negative stuff, or, you know, oh, he's got a terrible rear. But what about this? Or what about, you know, what about his top line? And what about his neck into shoulder? Like, they always want to just.
Type,
yes, you know? Exactly. And that's, so I always find, I find it's harder and harder to have real conversations. And this is the other thing that I always find funny, is that if you do say, well, I would prefer if they would have, you know, stronger top line or whatever. And then, you know, as it always happens, someone will walk away and then I'll be like, oh, she hates that dog. No, I don't.
No.
It's there was an observation on something that I wish was better to make them, but no dog is ever perfect. Right. And so
sometimes you have conversations with people about a dog that just went best in show, and they'll talk about it. Then after the conversation is over, you think, how on earth did that dog even win a breed? You know, listening to this person talk about that dog.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, people. Yeah. Every dog has its day. So sometimes the odd lower dog sneaks through and wins something, overachieves. But for a dog to come out and win 10, 15, 20 best in shows, there's something about that dog.
It's not a piece of crap.
It's not the owner. It's not the handler. All these owners and handlers have dogs they own or show that aren't that good. And we don't hear about those ones. We only hear about the ones that win. So obviously, Yvonne's English Setter, it wins because Yvonne. Well, she's had English Setters before that don't win. So it's not like, it's...
Exactly.
People get excited on the bad things about dogs and just try to push it. I wish they would just look at the positives of dogs.
Yeah.
And make it... It's just... It'd be a better learning experience for everybody.
It would be. And that's that's what I think, you and I talked about last week about let's just do better. So let's start right there in our conversations about dogs. Let's do better. So before you start to, break down a dog, let's talk about the good things about a dog. Whether you're talking to, one of your friends or someone who may ask you a question, come across, let's start on the positive foot first before we start taking things down. Because I think that will start changing our attitude at shows as well.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it's like even these record chasing, that's crazy. Yeah. Like, I don't like record chasing because I had a dog I showed that won a lot of best in shows. The dog won about, 60 or 70 best shows. I can't remember exactly the number. There was another dog in his breed that showed for a long time. And when they got close, they asked if they could do an ad saying that their dog just surpassed the dog I showed and what an honor it was and blah, blah, blah. They said, sure you can. If you put down that you did this for 6 years with your dog, where this dog I showed for 16 months.
Yeah.
So there's a huge difference. Yeah. I don't mean that they're flogging their dogs, but because they don't like showing their dogs. And I have no problem. If it's their dog and they like showing it, we talked about this last week, keep showing it. But if you're going to say something like that or state something like that, there's got to be almost like an asterisk, like it is in baseball. 16 months to 6 years. It's like we talked about Bang Away and Infernal. You have their records, right? Rock Falls Colonel, the English Setter. He won 100 shows eventually.
Let me see what Mayan,
friend
of the show, what she got for us. So what we found was how did this happen? Oh, never mind.
How many times was he exhibited?
He was only exhibited in 173 shows. Okay, so since his first show in 1951, the Colonel won the breed 162 times.
Out of 173, okay. That's right there is unbelievable. Right.
Won the group 152 times.
Right.
And then best in show 90 times. Now, you and I both know at that point. And this was verified by Sports Illustrated, January 1955. He was awarded more best in show ribbons than any other dog in 1952 and 1953. And we both know that he did hit 100.
He surpassed 100. Yeah. Or at least
he did.
100, yeah.
So, and then, Bang Away.
He got 90 and 173 times shown.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
So every second time he won
every
best
other
in
time
show.
He went best in show.
Yeah.
Pretty well.
So you've got to be a pretty good dog for that.
Yeah.
You got to be pretty good. So, and he was handled by his owner. Yeah.
Then there was the boxer dog.
Boxer is Bang Away of Shearcrest. So he was one of the top producers and most successful showmen, and the first dog of any breed actually to crack 100 best in shows. And he also won the Garden in 1951. And we couldn't find his show record, but another tidbit was that Bangaway and Rock Falls Colonel were in a race to the 100 best in shows in 1955 and 56. So if you can imagine those two, like, coming to a show and those two are walking well, around, you're like, oh, for crap's sake, right?
Oh, exactly. When they went, because Colonel won best show every other time. The time he lost, he probably lost to Bangaway.
Yeah. And then, and here's the other interesting statistic. In 1953, there was only 382 shows
total. All of America.
In all of America. Yeah. And 370.
There's no way one dog got to all those shows back then. They
exactly. And 375 in 1953. And when we say shows, we don't mean the weekend. We mean actual, that's the individual days, right?
And so, like, on average back in when I was young in the 70s, on average, we did maybe 80 shows a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so.
So you think about that. And then he retired with 121 best in shows.
Wow.
And the other tidbit Megan found was he was defeated only 5 times. One of these one of the defeats resulted in a riot by the gallery. They threw everything, including the chairs, requiring a police escort to get the judge out of the building. And that was the compliments of the AKC Gazette, September 2018. So, those are outstanding records. And, you know, you have to look at the small timeline, you know, and just.
And even if they were shown for 3 or 4 years, they showed maybe 80 times a year, top.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe, you know.
Yeah. So.
Whereas now we're showing, a dog can show, 150 times a year now?
Yeah.
Maybe even more. I'm not even sure about that one. So.
Right. Yeah. Because in America, the shows usually were just Saturday and Sunday for the longest time. They didn't have a lot of Friday. Yeah. They didn't have a lot of Friday shows. So.
But that just shows to go. Yeah. You know,
shows to go. Yeah.
How good those dogs were. They were winning best in shows. And it hasn't really changed. There's just more dog shows. So it's watered down compared to what it was back then.
Yeah.
Back then they had to compete with all the top dogs, so they weren't just walking into chasing small shows around trying to get the best in show ribbons. They were actually competing with dogs that were in their category.
Yeah, because we often talk about, you've got, 35 best in shows, but actually how many dogs defeated do you have? And I think,
and I hate saying that because we have small shows up here, and Jean Forsyth won her first best in show in Canada.
No, I didn't.
She told me, and that's another person I met, Jean and Bob Forsyth, when I was with Ted Eldridge visiting, and I was again maybe 11 years old when I first met Bob and Jean Forsyth, and that was, they were like superstars to me. Like, I was like,
oh yeah,
I'm sure I didn't say one word they understood, just stood there with my mouth open, but. I was like that almost their whole careers. But she told me that by the time, it doesn't matter what show you're at, William, this is back when only 6 groups, the final 6 dogs are very competitive. You know, they're not going to be crap getting through. There's 6 dogs. So when you win a best show and there's 300 dogs there, there's only 300 dogs there, but the 6 or 7 dogs that made it to the finals, they were worth. When you beat them, they wasn't just a walkthrough. So
said,
and sometimes I think best show you won. Don't let people downgrade them. So.
Yep, and I think that's sometimes where as Canadians we discount ourselves sometimes, or people like to try and discount us. But I mean, we breed just as many beautiful and great dogs here as anywhere.
The greatest winning dog in American history. You know what dog that is?
Is it the Shepherd?
The Shepherd bitch, Mystique. Where was she bred?
Alberta.
Right. The greatest winning male dog in American history is?
I don't know that.
The Portuguese Water Dog.
Oh, really? Matisse?
Yep.
Nice.
And he was bred just down the road.
Just down the road from
you. So we may not have the numbers, but we have the depth. We have.
Oh, we always have. And to me, that's when you know, like, if I'm talking to people, when they say, oh, you're from Canada, and then there'll be someone else in the crowd going, yep, they're from Canada. And it's like, they're acknowledging the fact, like the fact that, you know, we're pretty good up here too. So
that was, I hate to say this, one of the major reasons I didn't move to America when I was younger, because I was offered and I was pushed to.
Oh, I'm sure.
I was tired of people treating us as second class in the sport. So I vowed to myself when they came into my area that they had to beat whatever dog I was showing if they wanted to win Best in Show. Yep. And it didn't always happen, but I made life miserable for some of them.
Yep. For sure. It's not just a walk in a park up here.
Nope.
So.
No, we produce, and you look at some of their top handlers down there.
Well,
displaced Canadians.
Yep. Well, we look at, just this past weekend in Minnesota, there was Luke, all three Best in Shows.
Yeah.
And then the Akita what's that?
I was in junior handling with Luke. We still argue about the Scarborough Finals. He won
bike?
He won a bike and I won a watch. Is that what happened? I think so.
I don't know.
Something I just know like that. I won one year, he won the other year, and I think he thought his prize was better than my prize. And I've got a picture. I should send it to Doc. I'll send that picture to Doc of young Luke showing my Cocker Spaniel. And we were it's just out in the field, the Barry Kennel Club at the Molson Park. And we were just goofing around. He had his Lassa and I had my Cocker Spaniel. Uh-huh. And we switched dogs and he stacked my Cocker Spaniel. And he did a good job. We're probably about 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And I'll send the picture to Doc and he can put it up during this conversation. But he ended up winning Best in Shows with Cockers. Like, he got really good at Cockers.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And people don't realize that, because in America, he shows mostly toys. But he showed Westies and Cockers.
I remember one time, he covered a Doberman bitch for me. And I remember looking over to the ring, and I was like,
he's a very
fantastic.
Good handler. It's just that he got put into a group that, and he got so busy he probably didn't have time to show other breeds.
Well, and that's the problem with those like drop coated breeds, right? Yep. It's not, you just can't kind of rip them out of a crate and boom, boom, boom. Especially not at there.
He was an amazing handler.
Yeah,
and he could do any breed. I mean, I remember him showing poodles. I remember Westies, Cockers. Yep. He could show anything. He was amazing. Yeah. Oh, well, enough of the Luke appreciation hour.
Yep, there we go. It was great to see him. It was great to see him this week. And he's always
there's a lot of Canadians. Look at young Adam.
Yeah.
You know, he's Canadian. He's down there, and him and his wife, Katie, are ripping it up in their areas.
Yep, so. For sure. Yeah. So what else were we going to talk about?
I think we discussed that part pretty well. Because I just want people if they can in the back of their head when they're looking at a dog, try to remember Ted Eldridge's rules. Say three good things about a dog before you start looking for the bad things.
Yep.
Even if it's as little or simple as nice feet. As their tail hair or something, right? Just say something and keep it positive. Because no one's going to learn from negative. Because I'm telling you, people sitting at ringside can pick out the negative. Non-dog show people can pick out the negative. We're supposed to see dog show people rise above, pick out the positive.
Yeah,
I know why that dog wins. You know.
Yeah. And as a someone coming new into their breed, learn about the dogs in of the past in your breed.
Yeah, and don't go back and look at the dog from 1960 and go, it can't even finish today. Things evolve. And if you look at Rock Falls Colonel and you just brought him to now and put
a trim on him.
Look out, folks.
He was such a beautiful dog.
Beautiful. And even you look at Tripper, the triple threat, the Beagle, the Marsha Foy showed, the Mike Billings bred, he'd still kick ass today. Like, he'd still be competitive taste. So, but like there are some breeds that evolve, and it's not always for the better.
No.
It's funny how our eye is drawn to exaggerations, and usually it's an exaggeration that's wrong with that breed. Like I remember one time, I won't say the dog or anything. I was working for Bobby Stebbins, and there were two Vizslas entered. And my favorite Vizsla was, when I was a youngster, my favorite Vizsla was one that Bill Pace showed, Surfstone Suka. I always have her in my head. She's still in my head. Well, there was two dogs being shown that day, and a big orange Weimaraner and Surfstone Suka. And the judge that day put up the big orange Weimaraner. And I thought Bob was going to blow a gasket. He marched into the ring afterwards and asked him to explain himself. And he said he preferred the top line on the male to the female. And Bob said right to his face, well, that's probably why you shouldn't judge Beasley's. I don't think Bob did well the rest of the weekend under that man, but that's just the way it goes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it's true. And you know, and you can easily get swept away with the exaggerations, right? And well, they do.
You take a person sitting in ringside and they see the wire, the two Duvilas, and they see this shapely Surfstone Suka type, and they see the Weimaraner type and think, oh, that one's a lot smoother. That one's got to be better. Well, it may be to your eye, your untrained eye, but that's not better for a Vizsla. It's not better for a whip. It's not better for...
Yes.
So our eyes are drawn to exaggerations that are incorrect for breed type. And it's true. Yep. It's actually Christian Meninopoulos that pointed that out to me. And it made it total sense. Total sense.
Mm-hmm. Christian being?
Christian
Tell Meninopoulos. People who Christian is, because you and I know who he is.
He's a poodle handler from the Carolinas. He and his wife, Rachel, they've shown some of the top poodles. Christian's actually from Australia. Right. He's the most interesting guy you want to talk to. He's a wonderful guy. But he told me that in the interview I did with him on Dog Show Tips. And it stuck with me. And it's true. It's true. Mm-hmm. Whenever you talk to somebody and they pick out something on a dog and you think, that's not right for that breed. But I can see why it's appealing. That's a beautiful dog, but it's not a beautiful Afghan. You know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
You know what I mean, Vern? Yep. Yeah. So, all right.
Oh, we have a special next coming up here.
Our top 10.
And this time we don't take, it's not from the home office in Cobequenque, Ontario. No. This time the top 10 is brought to us by
Bluff High Cat Kennels in Savage, Minnesota, a full-service boarding kennel, trusted care, happy tales, open 7 days a week. Please check the website for hours. So.
Where your pet comes first. That's the kennel of Doug and Mandy Carlson.
Doug and Mandy Carlson, yes. And our good friend Doug.
And Doug sent in this week's top 10 list.
He did. And he apparently
so if you all
did.
Take offense to it, it's not us.
It's not us. It's not us. Call Bluff High.
We'll post his number afterwards.
Down at the bottom. So, all right.
Okay. Top 10 things you can hear
a
dog show and probably nowhere else.
Probably, I hope not.
Number 10, this show sure has good grass.
Yeah. Number nine, what did his poop look like?
That's true.
We talk about it so much, it's gross.
Number eight, I like your rack. Gets all my pens. It's for your pens. Oh, trouble.
Number seven, she's got a grate down and back.
Number six, do you have a teaser, bitch, I can borrow?
I like that one. Oh, this. Number five, just stuff a wiener in her mouth and she'll be fine.
I feel like that guy, I can't remember his name, on Saturday Night Live Weekend Update. Anyway, number four, my junk is too big for that spot. Oh, the Lord.
The Lord. Just wait. Number three, have you checked his testicles? Found at most dog shows.
You don't want to be excused. And number two, I say this a lot around here, stop humping your sister. Go to Jill Taylor's house, you'll hear it all the time. And the number one thing you can hear the dog show?
I can't believe that bitch beat me.
Thank you, Doug Carlson.
Thank you, Doug Carlson.
Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Dog Show Drive and the rest of my Dog Show Tips and
whatever else.
Coach's Corner. George Olson. Yeah. I did that this week with George. He's the best, man. I love talking to George.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really do.
What's this one about?
This week's Coach Spray talks about advertising, which is very good.
Especially at the beginning of the year. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why he chose it. He's a smart guy, that George.
Still got it all together.
What do we got coming, Vaughn?
What we got coming up. So next week, we're going to talk more about more Westminster stuff, and it's going to be some advice for the Westminster newbies. So if you're going to the garden, we're going to try and give you some ideas.
Make it easier. Yeah.
Places to go. We're going to do kind of a deep dive into the center where the breeds are being held. See what
Which we don't know. Nobody knows about that.
Nobody knows.
Dogs.
So it's we're all newbies.
All of us.
Yeah, but we're going to see what information we can find out.
But I'm sure it's going to be well run and easy to work because Don knows how dog shows run and he is so good at that.
Yeah, for sure. And then also more Westminster, Canadiana. More about, Canadians at Westminster Garden.
Back and relax. That's... Look forward to next week's dog show drive.
Yes.
All right. Take us away, Vaughn.
So everyone driving around, seatbelts on, glasses on. Stay safe till next week.
See you next week. Clark, stop scratching. You press that and more comes up.
Yeah, there's no crime in dog shows.
You're not getting anything good here, dog.